I'd like to also add my welcome to everyone present this morning, especially visiting with us. Today we have a lesson that hopefully you'll benefit from, focusing on prayer and a particular aspect of prayer. And hopefully, as I said, we'll be able to bring forward some thoughts that will improve your quote-unquote prayer life. Now, you can easily be impressed if you go through the scriptures in the New Testament, and Old Testament for that matter, at the number of aspects of prayer. It's a very deep subject, a lot of different facets. You know, in terms of being a command, it's important. Who is it for? Faithful Christians, 1 John 3:22. You know, to God the Father, not Mary, not saints, and in almost all cases, you know, not even Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You know, when is it? You know, it's a routine kind of thing. You know, it's not just a 911 call, we're in trouble. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And a lot of different aspects regarding, you know, how to pray. In terms of being a learned skill, the reason why you do it, you know, not to be seen of other people, you know, based on faith and belief, you know, knowing that God cares, you know, based on Jesus' authority, not just for me, not selfishness, vain repetitions, thy will be done, and a lot of different passages associated with that. And if you're trying to write down every single passage, you know, if you want to, that's fine. I'll pause here for a moment or two. But just to make the main point that, you know, prayer is a very complex subject. And we could, you know, do a whole series of the different aspects, but that's not our main point here today. One thing I left off the chart except for the very end, which we'll be emphasizing today, what is it for? Especially in terms of private prayers, you know, Matthew 6:6. It can apply to public prayers, but more so for what we will be talking about today, private prayers. Lots of examples in the Old Testament. Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, etc. To illustrate it being throughout the scriptures. Likewise, in the New Testament, I think Paul, in just about every letter, if not every letter, you know, he makes mention of, you know, his example of praying for, you know, a number of different things, a number of different people, but, you know, look at that, unceasing, always cease not, praying always, his example. Of course, we also have the supreme example of Jesus in a couple ways, getting up long before daylight, you know, before the day kind of even starts. This example here in Luke 6, in my mind, just kind of boggles my mind. All night, staying up all night, staying awake all night, being focused enough to stay awake all night, and talking to God for several hours. To me, that's like, how would you find enough things to say? And that's kind of one of the genesis of our lesson this morning. Of course, you know, praying fervently in the garden, you know, Luke 22 as well. Lots of goals, but fundamentally trying to achieve a more meaningful, quote-unquote, you know, conversation with God. And a large number of secondary goals, including strength, spiritual strength, peace, forgiveness, and verses that are listed here as well. But at the very same time, it's a very challenging thing to do, including, as we're going to highlight today, what to pray about. And avoiding what I might call routine or in a rut prayer. Minimizing distractions as well. So if we understand from the scriptures that prayer is a, you know, key essential element of being a Christian, if we're doing it frequently, which we should, if we're doing it, you know, thoughtfully, which we should, you know, we can get into a rut, you know, saying prayers, you know, during our meals, for example, you know, Father bless this food we're about to partake, you know, thank you for your many blessings, you know, blessed are the nourishment of our bodies, amen, right? So easily fall into, again, a rut. And so the lesson today is going to be trying to provide some focus on our prayers, specifically on what we pray about. Now, this is a suggestion, and this is not a commandment, but some people may find it useful to come up with a quote-unquote prayer list, meaning write it down. Okay? Now, one of the problems that I have, Alan has, preachers have, that give lessons like this, it's kind of challenging. I mean, I can stand up here, and I can talk, wah, 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 right? And it's so easy to, like, you know, zone out. That's why you often see, you know, visual aids, right? That's why you'll sometimes see people taking notes. That helps. But what really helps is trying to make specific personal application to what's being said. And sometimes that's done, you know, after the sermon, you know, if you're driving home or elsewhere, you know, during the week. But our memory fades pretty quickly, doesn't it? And within, you know, a couple hours, sometimes 30 minutes, whatever. Why? Now, what was he talking about? Yeah, he made this good point, and I wish I'd written it down. Okay, so we're going to do something a little bit different today. And you may have noticed there's something special out there in the aisle. What I would encourage you to do, it's not required, but certainly encourage you to do, is make a list of the things we're talking about today for you personally. And when I say make a list, I really do mean during the sermon today, make a list. Now, if you have a notebook, feel free to use it. If you feel comfortable borrowing a piece of paper from your neighbor, that's fine too. I do have some spare paper on the two chairs in the aisle. Spare pens if you need them. There's also some little hard-backed cardboard kinds of things if you need something kind of harder to write on. There's some there as well. Feel free, starting now, to get up. If you need some supplies, we've got some supplies in the middle. As again, you can use your own, you can use the stuff out in the aisle, that's fine, either way. The other thing you'll notice is as we go through this sermon, there will be places where I will intentionally pause and give you time to think about what's on the overhead or things we've said. And actually, and in the business world, we might call it brainstorming. We just kind of sit there and say, okay, how would I make that personal? Well, then you start writing things out. And if you need to get up and get more paper, then feel free to get up and get more paper. Right? Okay. So that's sort of the approach. Again, it's a little bit different, but hopefully it will enable you to leave with something concrete, specific, tangible, however you want to say that, that you can then, you know, take home and expand on and hopefully improve your conversation with God. So, without further ado, let's tackle this kind of thing. Let's look at some major categories. So there's a lot of scriptures that are kind of more encompassing, descriptive, if you will. I mean, 1 Timothy 2:1 is one. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Philippians 4:6, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, requests. Luke 11:1-2 starts off, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Now, with these verses and others, you could start to characterize the different types of prayer, subjects of prayer, whatever. I've come up with four. Praise, giving thanks, making requests for ourselves, and interceding. Now, you might be able to come up with a fifth or sixth. That's fine. But for today, we'll kind of focus on these four. Now, if you think about these topics, there's a way of organizing them in your mind. I don't know if this helps. I create a little graphic here. But if you think in terms of what's really at the base of all of these things in our prayer, well, hopefully it's praise. Praise for God, who He is, and what He's done. If you have that kind of first and foremost, then naturally should come being thankful for a lot of the things that He is, as well as a lot of things that He's done. And being thankful, then we can turn around and go, okay, I'm thankful for all these things. Oh, by the way, some I need.
Yeah, and there's everyone else around me too. So I don't know if that helps. The other two more thoughts I'll make quickly. We may have a tendency, I mean, we know all of our problems, we know all our needs, and so we may have a tendency to, you know, zero in on this guy. And sometimes minimizing or overlooking some of these others, so we kind of jump in the middle when we really ought to, you know, maybe start at the bottom. The other point I'll make is this is why, this is a weird point, but I'll make it anyway. This is why creation and evolution are very critical to Christianity, the faith, etc. If I can convince you there is no creation, then there's no creator. If there's no creator, there's nobody out there to praise. If there's no one out there to praise, there's no one to give thanks to, no one to make requests of, the whole thing falls apart. But if there is a creation, if there is, since there is a creation, was a creation, since there is a creator, then naturally, he should be praiseworthy. And everything else just builds up on top of it. So with that kind of as an overall framework, we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning kind of going through each one of these. And each one will have kind of a series of verses up front. And I'll give you some things to think about, and then we'll pause. Okay? Which is kind of what we've mentioned here at the bottom. And the pauses will give you time to kind of think and ponder and brainstorm and write stuff down. Off we go. Let's talk about praise from observing his creation. Here are some verses. Let me just go ahead and build out the chart. Psalms 8, Jeremiah 32, Romans 1. Look at the words. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Romans 1. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead. Praising God based on what we see in his creation. So, here we go. How many things, and this is where we're going to emphasize, how many things do you routinely see that you can easily take for granted that you could be using to praise God? You know, if you like to fish or camp or be outside enjoying nature, if you have a garden and observe things that are going on there, whatever the case may be, if you know much about what's going on with, you know, life on the planet and how that works, things you may have seen on vacation, etc. And with that, you got about 3 minutes. I'm just going to pause here and let you write stuff down. So moving on, so that's like the first of the four main categories. Second of the four is giving thanks, being thankful, being grateful, having gratitude, etc. Again, lots of verses. Build this one out. To include, back one, Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not, which we humans tend to do, especially when they're abundant, all his benefits, forgiving iniquities, healing diseases, redeeming your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks, look at it, always for all things. That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? How about Hebrews 13, 15? Continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And often we think of that in terms of our singing. And that's true. And we did that this morning. If you notice the, you know, various words of the songs we sang, I did not coach Brian to pick those out. It just happens to fit very well. But also applies equally well to prayer. James 1:17. Again, another comprehensive statement. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights. And the last one, which is almost the negative, for even though they knew God, and this is Romans chapter 1, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. but became futile in their speculations.
Lots of things we can thank God for. So if we start off, and again, a couple different facets, physical things, okay? A verse related to that, I won't read the whole thing, Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 19, excuse me. And notice in here, yes, be thankful, but it's more than that. There's that lest. There's a warning here. And there's a warning here, even though this was, do the quick math, almost 3,500 years ago. I think it applies today. I think it applies especially today. Okay? Look at the words. When you have eaten and are full, built beautiful houses, dwell in them, herds and your flocks multiply, got lots of silver and gold, all that you have, heart is lifted up, forget the Lord your God. And then you'll say, my power and might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. As an example, physical things. All right. So, again, here we go again. And again, to emphasize, things we take for granted. Can you take this list, perhaps as a starting point, and maybe it'll jog your memory, things you tend to take for granted. And I'll let you read down through the list, and we'll start our next section. Okay, we'll resume then. And one of the side points I'll make, because they're so abundant, they're always there, like the utilities, heating, cooling, air conditioning, electricity, whatever, as an example. You don't notice them. I mean, they're always there, right? The car always starts, right? Well, I should say you don't notice it until they're not there. And the alarm clock failed to go off this morning, and the car didn't start, and you're in the middle of a power outage, and, et cetera. A nice, comfortable bed at night until something happens and you got to sleep on the floor. Whatever the case may be. All right, move on forward. The other aspect, obviously, is spiritual blessings that we can give thanks for. And got some verses there as well. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father, blessed us with, there we go, every spiritual blessing. Philippians 4:4, which should tie in with our prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always, being joyful, which should be reflected in our prayers. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And this is a challenging one. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Can we give thanks for those kinds of things? Should we give thanks for those kinds of things? Okay, here we go again. Things we can take for granted. Here are some ideas. As well as, the things that are quoted, not only things that we easily take for granted, but the things that are difficult. Can we find a way of praising God and thanking God when things go bad? 1 Peter 4:13. Ponder that for a bit, and off we go for a pause. Okay, there's a couple minutes worth. Now, obviously, the more specific you can make these in your own personal life, things you can specifically say, yes, I especially want to give thanks for, and be as specific as you can. That'll certainly help. So that finishes the second of the four. Moving on to the third of the four, making requests for ourselves. And again, lots of verses. I'll go ahead and build those up. Starting off with Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus instructing us, do not worry about your life. What we eat, what we drink, what our body. Seek first the kingdom of God. So there's an aspect of making requests. Matthew 7:11. If we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more your Father who is in heaven gives good things to those who ask him. Now, we understand God is omniscient. He knows everything. He already knows what we need, and yet he still wants us to ask.
please. Use that phrase. Philippians 4, 6. Again, tied in to some degree with Matthew 6. Be anxious for nothing. Goes on to say, let your requests be made known to God. And probably one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. I haven't looked that up as a trivia question, but it wouldn't surprise me. Luke 18, 13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 words, at least in English. And yet, couched in terms of a prayer, and couched in terms of a request, personal request. Very humble request, I might add. Okay, here we go again. Anything that you can thank God for, most likely you can also ask Him for. Perhaps to have it be continued, or if it's lacking, to be restored, for instance. You know, physical kinds of things, daily bread, healing, etc. Certainly spiritual kinds of things, and double especially, this one here that's kind of in the middle, you know, forgiveness of sins. Now, if there's any one of these that you can, you know, give a specific for in your own life, that's one. You know, either specific sins that you're repenting of, or a general tendency to sin in certain areas, requesting, you know, power and endurance and strength, etc. Or in general, just confessing our overall unworthiness to even be forgiven, because we keep doing it. Okay, lots of thoughts to ponder.
And we're entering in another pause. Okay, a couple minutes worth. And as always, topics on our website, repentance, forgiveness, etc. If you need some more material to help you with your brainstorming and to be specific. So that's the third of the four. Now we're in the last one. Interceding or making supplication for others. And again, verses, let's get those up on the board.
Romans 15. Paul speaking. Now I beg you, brethren, strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. You know, praying always, supplication for all the saints. Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. Paul now praying for them. This I pray that your love may abound. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Exhort, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. There's another of those good inclusive terms. Kings, all who are in authority, etc. Likewise, 1 John 5, 16. Here's another intercession. Anyone sees his brother in the sin, asking, and he, God, will give him life. Those who commit a sin not leading to death. Understand, contextually, it's probably referring to those who are repenting, which is good. Interceding for others. Now, I put a graphic on this, and before I reveal the words, let me explain the graphic. If you think in terms of our relationships with people, or the depth of our relationship, or the familiarity of our relationship, etc., there are some people that are very close to us, that we understand intimately, and have a great deal of insight into what they need. Right? There are others that are, you know, maybe not quite as close, a little bit further out. And there are others we may never know, but yet we can intercede for it in some manner.
Here come the words that kind of go along with that. And again, be as specific as you can. Now, this is an area that you could spend quite a bit of time on. Especially if you were to list out every single member of your immediate or extended physical family. And again, we're just talking about who. We've got another chart to talk about what. Every member of your physical family. If you were to take a directory of, that's Cameron's working on, thank you Cameron, of every single person here at Holly Street, list out the names, and ask yourself, okay, I wonder what they need, or I know what they need. And make intercession for them, every single person. See, the list is getting pretty long now, right? Oops, back up, wrong button. Here we go. Preachers,
Bible class teachers, etc., and several verses there you got. Even broader, Christians around the world. And in India, Malawi, and elsewhere. Friends, neighbors, co-workers, those in positions of authority, etc. So, people that we can easily take for granted, or more challengingly, people that are difficult to pray for. That's a tough one.
Ponder that during our next pause. As specific as you can.
Okay. We'll unpause there. And in some ways, I want to try to strike a balance between, you know, people that are still, you know, I need
more time to write more things, and those who are kind of finished at least momentarily. So obviously, if you want this as a homework assignment, feel free.
But that's just half. What about the what? Okay. Well, here we go. Anything that you might have just asked God for yourself, you know, physical kinds of things, spiritual kinds of things.
So now that you got a list, if you have a list of names, now you can think in terms of what? And we'll just pause here for a few moments.
Okay, let's wrap this up. What can we conclude? Well, first of all, if you've engaged in the exercise, so to speak, or the experiment, however you want to phrase that, you know, you got the beginnings of a good list. I say beginnings because you can always ponder these kinds of things and add things to them. You could take this list, if it's written down or if it's in your mind, whichever, and use it hopefully to focus your prayers. Because, I mean, again, in summary, you know, there's a lot of benefits that prayer has, or a lot of things that, you know, prayer offers. And basically, I took this from a extended lesson series that Alan has. I honestly don't remember. I think at one point we had booklets in the back. We probably still do on prayer. So if you want to dig even more, that's a resource. The hard copy is in the back of the auditorium, if we hopefully have them. A lot of benefits that you can read here. And yet at the same time, we need to emphasize there's certain requirements, some of which are listed here. Not the least of which, as we've kind of seen today, it takes thought. It takes pondering. It takes knowing people and their situations to know what to ask for. It takes, you know, taking careful note of who God is and his nature and his attributes and the miracles, etc., and turn that around to realize what a quote-unquote awesome God he is, and then reflecting that in our conversations with him. And likewise, I mentioned the material in the back, material or website, etc., including, as I said, the extended lesson that I copied this from. Again, available in hard copy in the back, as well as, you know, soft copy on the website as well. But one of the things we need to emphasize is, amongst the required things, is candidly, if you're not a Christian according to the New Testament pattern, if you've not become a Christian according to that pattern, this doesn't do you any good. And this is pointless, right? You're just talking to the ceiling or talking to yourself, right? So it's not doing any good. But if you have heard the gospel, believed it, accepted, indeed there is a creator God that has created things and all these wonderful blessings for us, that as a result you have violated his rules, his law, have sinned, and are repentant of those sins, willing to confess that indeed Jesus was who he claimed to have been, Son of God, sacrificed for our sins, being willing to be immersed in water in order to have the forgiveness of sins, now you follow the pattern. Now this is beneficial. Right? Everything we've been talking about today. The other thing I'll need to mention is if you're not a faithful Christian, this doesn't do any good. Right? Again, you're just talking to the ceiling, talking to yourself. But if you have sin, you know, repent of that sin. If it's a private thing, take care of it through prayer. If it's a public thing, maybe it needs to be acknowledged publicly. And likewise, if there are things you're struggling with, etc., need the prayers. Well, there we go again. Prayers of the congregation. Tie right into this. You know, that is also an opportunity. In capsule, in summary, the Lord's invitation to become a Christian,
to be restored as a faithful Christian, or to be restored as an unfaithful Christian, to be a faithful Christian, or for the prayers of the congregation. You now have that opportunity. If you want to come forward, make your needs known as we stand and sing.